Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to say.
Hi, this is How's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight we're continuing our series on buying a home, and we'll be talking to Kevin Breen from Breen Electrical Contracting. Stay tuned for Bob.
'Cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn
to House New York. I'm your host again, Robert Howe, and we're talking about a multitude of topics including real estate, community, politics, and any hot topic of the day. We are broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyearbyen, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with our executive producer, Jason Versace of Rising Tide Marketing. This is a series of programs that we're doing on buying homes, and so far we've had some real estate brokers, mortgage brokers, home inspectors on, and tonight we are happy to have Kevin Breen of Breen Electrical Contractors. Kevin's going to talk to us about aspects of home purchase before, during, and after your closing, and what somebody should look for in terms of electrical issues in their house. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on. You are an expert in your field. Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about your credentials and background and licenses, and then we'll get into aspects of, home buying.
Sure. I'm a New York City licensed master electrician. I've been in the business in the New York City area for 35 years. I own Breen Electrical Contractors here in Brooklyn. We are a New York City and New Jersey licensed electrical contractor, and we are also a New York State licensed and fire and security installer.
And Kevin, you say you're licensed, and what sort of work needs to be done by licensed electrical contractors? I mean, after all, pardon me if I'm wrong, I'm just a lawyer. There's a positive and a negative. How much more complicated could we get here?
Well, as simple as I can make it, the simplest project, like installing an outlet in a home, requires a licensed master electrician to install it. So basically, it runs the gambit from the outlet to the largest project you may have in your home. It requires a licensed master electrician.
So when you get a local, or when a homeowner engages a local handyman or handywoman, and they say, "Oh, you know, could you?" And the homeowner says, "Oh, could you hang that lamp, hang that light for me, or that socket on the wall isn't working right? Could you change that?" That's a no-no.
Technically, you're right, Bob, and you know, as a matter of law, technicalities can sometimes hurt people because the law does say that it has to be a licensed master electrician, particularly in New York City.
And I know, unfortunately, personally, firsthand, that if something goes wrong, one of the first things the investigators ask are, has any work been done in your house? And then the second question would be, who did it? And the third question will probably be, is that person licensed to do that kind of work?
Sure. So, and interestingly enough, these investigators, of which I am one, aside from my electrical business, the first thing they look at is to see if there has been any electrical work done. And they literally will go on the New York City computer to check if an application was filed and a subsequent permit for the work being done.
Very interesting. I think not we all, but a lot of people take the shortcut route of there's a positive and a negative, and my handyman can make that change, and why not let them do it? How much, you know, could we get into? And that's really not the right way.
Well, you know, one has to understand that as a licensed master electrician, it comes with the territory that you have to have adequate insurances. And for obvious reasons. I mean, we are performing, you know, construction work, albeit electrical construction work, in someone's home. And we're mandated by the National Electrical Code to do all of our installations. But the City of New York requires that we carry a significant amount of general liability insurance just in case something did occur. And we all know the advocacies of insurances. I mean, we're not going to get into that, but the bottom line is that's probably the main reason why hiring an electrician can be somewhat costly, absolutely more costly than, obviously a repairman.
And you cost more because you know more, you're licensed more, and you have to carry a chunk of insurance, you know, to back you up also.
Absolutely.
Unlike the fly-by guy night who opens up the trunk of his car and starts working, making whatever repairs, you know, there are. Let me ask you, have you been involved in situations where some damage has occurred because of unlicensed work?
Just recently, last weekend, in fact, I personally was called out on a Sunday in an apartment in Manhattan where the young couple, in fact, they just gave birth this week. They were all nervous because they heard a crackling noise in their electrical panel. And I shot up to the city. I opened up the panel cover, and it turned out to be the dishwasher was out. But when I did turn the breaker on, I had heard the crackling sound. And sure enough, I removed the breaker. And what had happened was the prior electrician, who I subsequently found out was the super of the building, the breakers wouldn't fit in the electrical panel. So what he did was he broke the plastic behind the breaker to force them into the panel. So what happened was, now that you've damaged an electrical component, it's no longer any good, but yet he still snapped it in the panel. And what was happening was it wasn't making a good connection, and it was the onset of what would have been a fire.
Wow. And I'm wondering, have you heard of instances where a homeowner does electrical work and they're by an unlicensed person and the insurance company sometimes refuses to cover that?
I personally have not been involved in any case like that, but that is the rule of thumb in the industry. The insurance companies can void the claim if you violated the law. I mean, that's literally breaking the law. So if you had electrical work done by an unlicensed person in your home, technically the insurance company can turn around and say, we refuse to make good on the claim.
Wow. So it's an important factor to have a licensed electrician.
Absolutely.
So,
we have been running a series of shows on buying a home, and we thought you would be a perfect guest to talk about some of the things that homeowners, prospective homeowners, may want to check before they go into a closing or making an offer on a house. What are some of the things that, and I guess you've been called in occasionally, so either a friend or a client of yours says, you know, Kevin, I'm going to buy a house. Would you come over and take a look at stuff? What are some of the things you would look for, you know, on that initial visit?
Well, I have a small list of about 10 items that I consider to be very important, and it's very quick. The first thing I would suggest everyone do is obviously hire a quality inspector to come in and give an overview of the electric. But there's 10 things that should actually come up on that inspection, and one is the code requires that the minimum amount of amperage coming into a home for the electrical service should be 100 amps. If it's less than 100 amps, you're probably looking at doing an upgrade project. So you want to make sure you have 100 amps minimum. Secondly, you want to make sure your ground connection to the electrical panel is connected properly to your water pipe. And yes, there is a wire that goes to the copper water pipe, and that actually provides the basis for the grounding and the protection in your home. It's very important. Number three, I would say make sure there's no Federal Pacific circuit breakers in the house that you're buying. Federal Pacific circuit breakers were used by a manufacturer, by a lot of electricians back in the 60s and 70s, and believe it or not, NBC did a special on it recently where it was causing fires, and I believe the insurance companies are mandating that all these panels be replaced, so I would encourage people to get rid of those. I would say if you have fuses, you need to upgrade them to circuit breakers. Fifth, I would say look and make sure you don't see any exposed wires or open electrical boxes. That's a potential hazard, obvious violation. When you walk around the home, make sure you have an adequate amount of receptacles and lights throughout. It's important. Make sure you have GFCI receptacles in the bathroom and kitchen. Those are the receptacles that trip when they're in the vicinity of water. It's very important. Protects you and your. If you have a pool in the home, I would recommend you bring a licensed electrician in to evaluate the electric on that. There have been numerous cases of severe hazards because they were wired improperly. Ninth, make sure you have no extension cords. A lot of times folks run these extension cords thinking that they're an adequate means or bridge for getting an outlet into a certain part of the house. No extension cords. Get rid of them. And lastly, I would say make sure you have hardwired smoke carbon monoxide detectors on each floor and within 15 feet of every bedroom. Those are really my top 10 that I would encourage folks to look for, Bob.
Yeah, those are great tips. Let's talk about the 100 amp service for a while. Would you say that's pretty common in the New York City area?
I would say 70 to 80% of the homes in the New York City area do have 100-amp service, but there are quite a few out there still that the older ones in the older neighborhoods, you're still seeing less than that. And a lot of fuses, believe it or not.
Okay, and give us an idea of what, say, a 75-amp wiring would run versus 100, and then talk about, you know, as we go into the future, everything is electrical, you know, turns on electric, and now we have computers and big screen TVs and huge refrigerators and maybe multiple refrigerators. Whether or not the 100 amps is satisfactory going forward. So first, tell us about what 75 amp power does or doesn't do.
Well, in many of the homes that were built in the 30s and 40s, obviously they didn't have the appliances that we have today. So their allowance of power and the need to have more power wasn't there. So what they did was they wired for, say, 60, 70 amps coming into a home. It was legal back then. Today, we encourage folks to have a minimum of 100, but, you know, you do one kitchen modification and you put in these huge appliances, you may find yourself having to put in 150 amps. And that's pretty much becoming the norm nowadays where we're seeing folks going with the HVACs, the air conditioners and whatnot. And we encourage folks sometimes to go and upgrade the 100s to 150s based on what their requirements are in the home if they're plan on doing a future project of upgrade. But 75 amps is 70 amps. It's really minimal. You're going to have problems in the summer with air conditioners tripping circuits and fuses in the basement. It should be upgraded.
So it looks like going forward with HVACs and TVs and big appliances in our kitchen, that 150 is the way to go.
I would say. We're seeing a lot of, I get a kick out of refrigerators. The double-door refrigerators are 30 and 40 amps alone. You know, the air conditioners are another 30 to 50 amps. So, you're really stressing and taxing the electrical panel in the basement. So you want to make sure, you're not exceeding and getting close to the threshold of, what's the max coming into the home.
And not to get too technical, but as you're mentioning, the one drawer is 30, one drawer is 40. Is that the formula you would use to figure out? I mean, it sounds like probably if you add up all of your appliances, they probably might exceed even 150. Is that true?
Well, that's true, and that's not necessarily the way we do it. We actually have a formula that we use based on square footage and then what appliances are considered to be continuous and what are not continuous. And it's sort of based on demand. I mean, the chances of you being able to turn 100% of your items on at any given moment in a home is zero to nil. So what happens is it's not a function of adding up all of the amperages. It's more or less a function of knowing, and a licensed electrician knows this, what the adequate amount of service requirement is for the appliances and the circuitry required in that home.
And what type of work is required to raise someone from 75 or 100 to 150?
Well, first and foremost, you have to file your paperwork and your permits with New York City. And then Con Edison, the electric utility in the Brooklyn area, would have to be notified because they're going to come out and put a new meter in that will accommodate that upgrade of service. And then it's a matter of bringing in new conduit and wire, actually from the point of attachment on the side of the house or, in some cases, underground. Many spots in Brooklyn are fed underground. And running all new wire from the point of entry into the home right up to new panels, new meter equipment, and then a reconnection of whatever existing circuitry was there from the beginning, just terminated on new circuit breakers in the upgraded panel.
So you would need Con Ed to do some work outside, either under the street or overhead?
Right. What the good news is, they don't charge you for that, Bob. Can you imagine that?
I can't imagine that. But, let's not tell too many people. They might catch on and say, "What? We're not charging people for this." But okay, that's a very good point that you can upgrade, and at least the supplier's not that's unlike our cable companies where if you want more, you pay more. This doesn't necessarily translate that way.
Well, I don't want to give anyone the impression to get anything for free, Bob. You know as well as I do, that meter spins even more at 150 amps.
they make it up on the consumable.
There you go.
Absolutely. So a prospective home buyer goes in and checks these items and also comes across this Federal Pacific box, and that's a must-do repair for them?
Absolutely, Bob. That's a must-do. Unfortunately, this particular company, and you can see it in a lot of there's a lot of law journals that had lawsuits, class action lawsuits against this company. They had falsified their UL data back when they did get approval for their equipment. And what had happened was they had a high incidence of residential fires as a result of using these panels. I mean, as they get older, obviously the quality of the tripping mechanism within the circuit breaker diminishes. And, these breakers have sometimes been in homes for 30 years. They just weren't working. So, in essence, a circuit may exceed the amperage rating on the breaker, like, for instance, a 15 or 20-amp breaker. If something happens, it exceeds the 15, it doesn't trip. And what happens is that electricity just keeps going through that circuit and conceivably start a fire. So the insurance companies have more or less mandated anyone who has a home with these panels, they're required to change them, especially upon a sale, I believe. And you would know that better than I would. I mean, I know you've seen it come up.
Federal Pacific is a
yes.
standard objection whenever, you know, the home inspector finds one, yes.
Yeah.
Last question on these pre-inspection, you know, stage. What happens, I know a lot of the, you know, we all have 100-year-old homes throughout the metropolitan and more, and at one time, weren't these wires wrapped in paper?
Paper, and we've seen wire wrapped in cotton, and we've seen wire wrapped in rubber. Absolutely. We had a case down here in Brooklyn Heights a number of years ago where a wall sconce was wired on an old gas line, and sure enough, when we removed the fixture, the gas was still connected. So fortunately enough, my guy ran downstairs and turned off the gas main. But, you know, they've taken wire from that was installed in the 30s and 40s, and albeit it was legal back then, but, you know, over a period of time, that wire degrades, especially when you have an electrician come in, and he could be a licensed electrician. Because that wire becomes so brittle, it's so very difficult to work with. We've had many cases where these old wiring scenarios existed in boxes where people wanted to hang ceiling fans, and the boxes wouldn't accommodate the ceiling fans, and the minute we start touching the boxes to change them out to accommodate the weight of the ceiling fans, the insulation literally will crumble in your fingers, necessitating us having to slide special insulators over the damaged wire. And in worst-case scenarios, rewiring portions of that home because the wire broke further back in the ceiling where we couldn't get it. But it's a definite thing to be aware of. It definitely advocates someone who knows what he's doing to work with that kind of wire, and it's all throughout the Brooklyn area. I mean, it's all over. So you have to really have someone who's trained to know how to work with that. But you are right. That wire is old, and it is very difficult to work with, very brittle.
So let's jump now to the moment. We were in the pre-inspection or in the inspection stage. The individual decides to buy the home, gets in there. What are some of the interesting things that you can provide for the homeowner or that homeowners are looking for? And I'm talking in terms of, like, audio, video, security, dimming, auto, iPad controls, all stuff like that. Tell us some of the things that are out of the market that, you know, a homeowner might want to start putting in their home.
Well, this is actually the most exciting area for me because I am such a fan of this stuff. You know, the Internet has provided us with such a vehicle now where you can literally control any function you want over the Internet, through your iPhone, right to your home. For instance, I can turn on my lights, my steam room, my sound, my anything, control my security system all through my phone. And it's the mind is endless as to what you could do now. It requires someone who understands the technology to come in and do it. Whole house audio systems are another big plus for folks. Literally being able to have a little keypad in one room and having high-fidelity sound, 5.1 Dolby surround sound in theaters and things like that in your basement. I mean, it's mind-blowing what's out there. And you raise a really – you can hear it in the tone of my voice. It's actually very exciting for the homeowner because these opportunities to really bring the technology into the home is really making it an amazing, amazing vehicle for folks to enjoy their home even more.
Yeah, and a lot of people are very techie, and I'm sure they're looking for that. And it's obvious in the tone of your voice that you're sort of a techie when it comes to this sort of stuff. And we're wondering, can you put a price on or a percentage of value that these type of upgrades would add to the value of a house? If you're a seller, let's say, if I walk into your house, I say, oh, you know, it's totally wired. I can sit outside in my car with my iPhone. I can turn it on, turn it off. What sort of value do you think this might add to, you know, a house?
Well, it's a great question. You know, people have asked me that question quite frequently, and my answer really is it's really subjective, meaning if a person's buying the home who really doesn't appreciate that, it's moot. But, you know, for someone who's looking for that type of home, it adds substantial value. Substantial value. I mean, imagine walking into someone's home and seeing a full-blown 80-inch screen theater with theater-sized seats in the back with the ability to feel the sound in the seats because they're wired for Dolby sound in the seats. I mean, it's mind-blowing what's available. But the value definitely goes up. I mean, it's amazing. It really is. It's a great investment, I mean, I think, but it's a good question.
Yeah, and of course you have to appreciate it. If you're looking, you know, for the remote control rather than your iPhone, you know, obviously all the upgrades are not going to be very meaningful to you.
Right.
But if you do look to your iPhone, that's right up your alley.
Yeah, I think more and more people are becoming to appreciate that. So it makes it more of in demand, quite frankly. I mean, we've seen a big jump in the technology end of the electrical business over the last 5 to 10 years. It's mind-blowing what's happening. But you're right. It's someone has to want to appreciate that.
It sounds like your industry is sort of morphing into, you know, an industry, you know, rather than install a light, change a fuse, you know, switch out a socket, that, you know, you're morphing into more of the electronic type of work, and that's, you know, I guess that's very exciting, and also, I guess, exciting for you as a contractor to do new you know, technologies and install them and see the value that they do add to the person's house.
Absolutely, but you do have to find the electrical contractor that really is trained in that. There's a lot that are still just doing the pipe and wire installations. The high-tech stuff, you really got to find someone who has experience with it, knows how to program it, you know, and especially knows how to service it. So, yes, you have to be very careful. I mean, there are guys, believe it or not, that's opened up a whole new door for businesses, the high-tech field. So, You gotta be careful. But you're right, Bob. It has made the business more exciting for me.
Yes, it sounds that way. Kevin, we're getting towards the end, but I want to touch on one topic that I think everybody's concerned about is the area of security. What do you do? What does the industry do? What should people have in terms of security and cameras? You know, we live in a world now where cameras are everywhere. What would you do, and what would you suggest the homeowner have, you know, to feel secure in their home?
It's a good question. I mean, security-wise, I always encourage folks to have perimeter protection, obviously security protection around their home. And what that means basically is every conceivable point of entry, a window, a door, should be protected. The great thing today is a lot of folks buy these homes, and they're thinking that they have to, you know, rip the walls apart to install a security system. Well, the technology has gotten so great with the wireless stuff that you can literally come in and not have to run a wire and get maximum amount of security. Included in that is smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors wireless. It's phenomenal, the technology that we have. And I encourage everyone to think of security along those lines, as well as the fire and the smoke protection and the carbon monoxide protection. The cameras, obviously, it's a major benefit. It's an additional discount on your home insurance policy, as well as, you know, obviously when you install a security system, you do get a discount. But the cameras can be phenomenal. I mean, it escalates the level of protection if it's done right. But you know, you do mention cameras. It's we're becoming such a society of cameras. I mean, they're everywhere. But it's a great move, I believe, on everyone's home to have some cameras.
Kevin, you have the last word. What else might the homeowner think about, either before, during, or after one of their purchases?
I would just encourage the folks to think of the safety of themselves and their family in that home. Make sure they have someone who's qualified to go in and take a look at it. It doesn't hurt if they want to, you know, get a licensed electrician to come in and do an evaluation. It can never hurt. It's a little bit more costly, but it's a smart move. And realize that it's not a joke. It's not a hobby. It's a requirement that can keep you and your family safe. You know, before I mentioned the pool. If you had a pool in the backyard, obviously you would take some steps to make sure a young child wouldn't fall in. Well, believe it or not, you know, on the electrical end, we've seen cases where electrical wires were frayed underground and caused electrocutions. You know, even sometimes a trained home inspector might not know what to look for in that case. So, you know, realize that electricity is something not to treat as a hobbyist. It's something that should require the diligence of a licensed electrician. And it never hurts to get one and evaluate your home and so that you know it's safe and comfortable for many, many years to come.
Good advice. Kevin, where can our listeners find you for further information?
I am located on the web at www.wiringnewyork. That's newyork.com, so it's wiringnewyork.com. And I am located in Brooklyn at 176 16th Street in the Park Slope area, and my office phone number is 718-499-7363.
Well, Kevin, we appreciate you on our show, a series of programs dedicated to helping people make decisions when they're buying homes. You are obviously an expert in your field as well as the upcoming and opening area of electronic explosion. And we appreciate you sharing your thoughts with us, and hopefully in the near future we'll have you back to talk about some other topics that that are of interest to our listeners.
I appreciate it, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Kevin.
Be well.
Well, this concludes tonight's radio program. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting our show. And thanks to our guest, Kevin Breen. Kevin Breen is the owner of Breen Electrical Contractors, located in the Park Slope area of Brooklyn and also found on the web at wiringnewyork.com. He shared his thoughts on what home buyers, prospective home buyers may look for, you know, prior to making a purchase, and some of the upgrades and things that homeowners should look at after they've closed on their home. And we thank him for sharing his insights with us. This is How's New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from...